strip, and my hands can't feel to grip, and my toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade onto my own parade. Cast your dancing spell my way. I promise to go under it.
With a smile on our face,
we get by with help from our kin. We get by through thick and through thin.
We get by. We get by. No matter what happens, I'll be there for you. We get by. It was just the other day I heard from my old friend. She was going through changes once again.
Matters of the head, matters of the heart. May be too early to tell, but it's never too late to start.
We get by. We get by. No matter how long I'll be waiting here for you. We get by. We get by. We get by. I'll be waiting. We get by.
Day by day, line by line, if you don't have yours, you sure got mine.
We get by, we get by day, we get by in our own way.
We get by. We get by. No matter how happens, I'll be there for you. We get by. We get by. We get by. No matter how long, I'll be waiting here for you. We get by.
No matter how long I'll come running,
what happens?
I'll be there for you.
Oh.
through all the world below, she is seen all around. Search hills and valleys through, there she's found. The growing sky hides the sun. Then down the rain does pour, the ocean loud does roar and beat upon the shore, and all praise in their ways the one whose glory streams through our dreams.
The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, and the air. Return, 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 return.
Might help if I turned my mic on. That was Liz Crow and Carol Talboys with Return, Return from Chanting 2. And that is from the background music of the Museum of Witchcraft in Boss Castle. Our calendrical information is, as usual, brought to you by the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Keightley, who notes that June is indeed the midsummer month, and it's advisable to gather and dry herbs this month. In other words, you want to get them. Well, we'll let Culpepper tell you what to do. Of leaves, choose only such as are green and full of juice, and cast away such as are in any way declining, for they will putrefy the rest. Dry them well in the sun and not in the shade. For if the sun draw away the virtues of the herb, it must deeds do the like by hay, which the experience of every country farmer will explode for a notable piece of nonsense. Having well dried them, put them up in brown paper, sewing the paper up like a sack, and press them not too hard together, and keep them in a dry place near the fire. And that was written in 1653 in the English Physician. June the 6th, the beautiful and all-curing rose, now beginning to bloom. Gerard's Herbal of 1633 notes, the rose doth deserve the chief and prime place among all flowers whatsoever, being not only esteemed for his beauty, virtues, and his fragrant and odoriferous smell, but also because it is the honor and ornament of our English scepter, as by the conjunction appearing in the uniting of those two most royal houses of Lancaster and York. And if you have any questions about that, look up your history of the War of the Roses, the Red Rose and the White Rose. Alrighty then, Whitsun actually falls this week, and it's usually, of course, when Easter is late and Lamb is now in high season. June 8th, observe the moon and the weather. If on the 8th of June it rain, that foretells a wet harvest, men's saying. The laughing call of the green woodpecker is a sure sign of a shower. June the 9th is St. Columbus Day. Columba's Day, yes. Columkia, the luckiest day of the year in Highland Scotland. In this case, it falls on a Monday, and it also tends to be when Whitsun is celebrated in the calendar. Day of Columkia, the beloved, day to put the loom to use, day to put sheep to pasture, day to put coracle on the sea, day to bear, day to die, day to make prayer efficacious, day of my beloved. And St. Columba's herb was the St. John's wort, if found accidentally and kept beneath the armpit where the saint is said to have worn it, this will ward off all kinds of evil. Say this charm when you pick it, the armpit package of Columba the Kindly. Unsought by me, unlooked for, I shall not be carried away in my sleep, neither shall I be pierced with iron. Better the reward of its virtues than a herd of white cattle. To be rid of undergrowth, cut it in June, but be careful how you deal with knives and other sharp tools. A knife dropped on the floor foreshows a male visitor, a drop fork a female, but it is unlucky to pick up a knife you have dropped yourself. Someone must do it for you. If you give a knife, a pair of scissors, or any sharp-edged instrument as a present, the recipient must buy it from you with a small coin or a pin. Otherwise, the gift will sever the friendship between giver and receiver. Never cross two knives or lay a knife and fork crosswise, lest crosses or troubles follow you. And June the 11th is St. Barnabas's Day. Make Barnaby garlands. Barnaby bright, light all day and light all night. On this day, it was customary to deck churches and houses with Barnaby garlands of roses and sweet woodruff. June the 12th, the greatest of summer horse fairs, is held during this week. One white leg, buy a horse. Two white legs, try a horse. Three white legs, shy a horse. Four white legs, shoot a horse. You probably want to be a bit more discerning than that and know something about your equine relatives. June the 13th, St. Anthony of Padua, whose feast day this is invoked for the finding of lost property. Try divination by the sieve and shears. And for the next week, when I won't be back until nearly midsummer, June the 15th was St. Vitus's Day. June the 16th, the red-stalked herb Robert now blooms around houses, but beware how you treat it, for it is Robin Goodfellow's flower. Also called Poor Robert, Robin Hood, or Robin in the Hedge, it is under the protection of Robin Goodfellow, or Puck. And like him, it will help you, especially by staunching wounds, if it is well treated. June the 17th, make good use of summer fruit, and now beginning to be abundant. And we will warn you against the very hot, seasonable weather coming up. Guard against sunburn and sore feet. Here's another chant you might know.
The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. The earth is our mother, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always. Always, always, we honor her always.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, no, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Visit mass.gov/MEMA. Brought to you by the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
I am going away to leave
Corpus Christi.
Well, I sort of feel here like doing an essay about what I did on my summer vacation. It's more like what I did in the interval between my last radio show right before Memorial Day and then on the Sunday before Memorial Day, very late in the evening, flying across the pond and spending 10 days in and around London with the idea of, not only the idea, but the intent of going to the Magical Women Conference. This was announced with great fanfare this past September. I immediately purchased tickets for myself and my wife and making plans to go because a number of friends were actually going to be appearing here and also some other folks who, some of whom I knew, some of whom I knew by reputation, some of whose books I read but had never met them. However, the one caveat I do have to say about this was, first of all, the two organizers did a great job, given that this was the very first conference that they did. They managed to pull it off in lovely location across London from us, down in South Kensington, Queensgate. And considering that Saturday, June 1st, was the hottest day that England had experienced, it was lovely that they had air conditioning, except some people didn't realize it and kept on opening the windows. Brits are not used to air conditioning at all. But that said, there were keynote speakers who had the floor to themselves. Very few of those. And then there were other folks who had anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes to speak or work. There was books galore, more books than you could shake a stick at, and several of the people who sponsored this conference were well-known esoteric bookstores in London, and some who sponsored but did not even bother to have a stall there. But the one thing that I really, really missed at this conference was any attempt to bring music in. And this was sad because the person who you just heard was Caitlin Matthews doing Wildwood Chant and her version of the Corpus Christi Carol with Deepwell in the Wildwood. Caitlin was actually trained as an opera singer. She has a gorgeous voice. And she did do chants, opening and closing her lecture. But that was it. And before Caitlin, I played a piece by Sharon Krause, who also spoke. But she spoke about how you organize a ritual. And while she had a split screen going with two PowerPoint presentations, one was chanting, and the volume was so loud that you really couldn't hear what she was saying, which was a shame. And finally, when she asked, how are the levels? I was like, you need to turn it down so we can hear you. And when I want to, yes, I can project from the back of the room, and I did, and she heard me. The other thing that's interesting about this album, the Woody Nightshade, we didn't hear that. We heard Traveler Between the Worlds, is she says, dear listener, you have in your hands an album, a physical object that belongs to you. You can listen to it in its entirety. Listen to the tracks in order and in high fidelity. You can enjoy the artwork. Read the lyrics and sleeve notes. And if I and the friends who joined me to record this have done our jobs well, you'll lose yourself in the musical world we've created. An album is more than just the sum of its parts. It's a cohesive artistic work. Second paragraph. This is the way everyone used to listen to music. It's the way I grew up listening to music and continue to listen to it. As more and more people are listening to individual tracks online or downloaded MP3s, the physical album still remains the best way to experience recorded music, something that a playlist of digital files can never truly replace. But as an art form, it is under threat. If you want to keep it alive, keep buying albums. Keep recording albums. Keep playing albums to your friends. So this one came out in 2010. It was recorded in the Bedlam Barn in Oxfordshire. But as I said, no music for sale. And no music recorded because we were strictly enjoined not to film and not to record anything. So what do you do in a case like this? Well, you go and see the folks who you know. So I saw Caitlin, I saw Sharon Krause, and Caitlin actually sang a little bit of this next piece we're going to hear.
This all happened a long time ago. That's the way it was back then.
Falcons grey, and hunt the crowly hours of prey, and we shall go in the good God's name, I to fetch thee home again. Then I shall go as a mouse in May, in fields by night and in cellars by day. And I shall go in Our Lady's name, I till I come home again. Then we shall follow as black tom cats, and chase thee through the corn and vats. And we shall go in the good God's name, I to fetch thee home again. Then I shall go as an autumn hare, with sorrow and sighing and mickle care. And I shall go in Our Lady's name, I till I come home again. Then we shall follow where swift greyhounds and dog thy tracks by leaps and bounds. And we shall go in the good God's name, I to fetch thee home again. And I shall go as a winter shroud, with sorrow and sighing and mickle doubt. And I shall go in Our Lady's name, I till I come home again. And we shall follow as otter swift, and snare thee fast ere thou can shift. And we shall go in the good God's name, I to fetch thee home again.
The Fee-Faw song, and who was the keynote speaker for this conference? Well, a very distinguished lady whose interview we hope will be available at this time next year. Yes, Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki was interviewed by Geraldine of Atlantis. I believe she said it lasted for 3 hours, so we'll see how much of that makes it onto the video, but we hope a lot. But here's something from Dolores to close this out.
The riding of the she. You approach in your imagination the two tall yew trees that form one of the portals to the world of the second road. From this side, it looks like an ordinary view of more trees with an open landscape beyond it. But you know, once you step between them, all will be different. You look down at your hand, the hand where Herne the Hunter left his mark on you. In your world, the mark does not show, but once on the second road, it will reappear and will give you safe passage to go where you will, with a few exceptions. You step forward and are surrounded by a pearly mist that swirls about you. But you know this is a bridge between your world and that of fairy. You take another step, and that other world comes into focus. You expected to see the same winding track, but instead you find yourself standing on moorland that slopes towards a forest on one side, and on the other rises to a high hill. It is a cloudy evening, with little wind, but a full moon has begun to climb towards her zenith. You turn, looking for signs of life, but there seems to be nothing but the moors stretching into the distance on one side and the thick forest on the other. You expect Herne and his hunters to come riding out of it, but nothing happens. You expected more of the second road, but perhaps if you walk down to the forest, there will be more to see. But then you hear the sound of a horn, long, low, and clear. A pause, and it comes again, louder and more insistent. Finally, like a silver clarion, a third call rings through the evening air, shattering the silence and sending a shiver of apprehension and anticipation rushing through your veins. You turn towards the hill and see, standing on its summit, a mounted figure in the shining armor of a fairy knight. He lowers the golden trumpet and rides down to stand before the hill. There is a low rumbling sound, and the whole side of the hill sinks down into the earth to reveal what must be a fairy city. You see castles and buildings, seemingly made of a mixture of light and color and jewels. And massed in the opening is a great company of the fae. For tonight is the full moon of midsummer, when they ride to collect the energy, magic, power, and grace of their mother and goddess, the moon. It is this that sustains their beauty and their immortality. It will happen again in the midwinter. The clouds are parting now, and the full moon bathes the whole area in silver light. Two knights ride forward, each with a banner, and take their places on either side of the trumpeter. Drums begin to beat, cymbals to clash, and other trumpets add their voice. The lead horses pace forward, and a path of light opens up before them. You step back to a safe distance and watch the riding of the she, rarely seen by humans. Behind the three horses come the drummers, the smaller folk of faerie, gnomes and brownies, fauns and hobs, pookas and pixies. They wear tunics of green leather and red caps, and their drums are made from the bark of oak trees and covered with the cast-off skins of vipers. After them come brass cymbals and carillons of silver bells played by the dwarfs. These are followed by the younger fairy folk, playing flutes and small harps, their eyes alive with life and vitality. However, you notice among the human forms some that are less human. Fauns, centaurs, small winged beings, and shambling trolls. Tall, thin, almost transparent creatures, and others whose forms continually fluctuate between human and other. All carry instruments, panpipes, tambourines, and sistrums. They pass you, smiling and laughing, their slightly slanting eyes and pointed faces giving them an unearthly look. Behind them come the larger fae, girls dressed in filmy silks of delicate colours with flowers in their hair and carrying garlands. The scent is overpowering, heavy and sensual. Their menfolk are also dressed in bright colours, tall and handsome, with long dark hair and eyes that hold the promise of sensual delights. Dryads, nereids, nixies, and wood nymphs all pass by. Some are winged like butterflies and dance in the air, hand in hand, or in long lines like a trail of blossoms. A few are bacchantes, clad in doeskins, beating small drums and clashing brass cymbals, with a wild look about them that makes you a little wary. Behind come yet more, dressed in moleskin and garments of leaves. Some are green-skinned and some brown. Others are fair, and all are beardless. Now come older fauns and satyrs, who dance among them, their goat legs cavorting wildly. After them come those who walk more sedately, wrapped in glimmering cloaks, their eyes watchful, their movements cat-like. They are the shape-changers, and they act as warriors and guardians for the fair folk. Some pause as they pass and regard you with curiosity, then move on, to be followed by the weirs, the wolf and the bear, the wild cat and the kelpie horses. After them come the hobgoblins, the folk of the hearth fire, who love humans and work with them as they care for the land. The banshee walk by, wringing their pale hands and sobbing, and at their heels are the white-coated, red-eared Gabriel hounds, questing from side to side. Will-o'-the-wisps float by, and marsh sprites. Centaurs clatter past, laughing and drinking from wineskins. Some of them have riders, pale-skinned fairy women dressed only in their own long hair. Those who follow are the servants of the nobles. They dress in colourful livery and carry jugs of wine and baskets of fruit. They offer cups of gold and silver in finely engraved glass filled with the heady wine of the fairy world. But do not taste, do not be tempted, until the ultimate cup is offered. Do not touch the fruit, the ripe cherries, the sweet strawberries, or the red apples of Avalon. To taste is to lose one's humanity and stay forever in this world. Let them pass, for a greater prize is to come. Finally, there comes the fairy court. The horses are of two colours, black as night and white as milk, with manes and tails that sweep the ground.